Bless the Lord. But we've just fallen in love with them. Everybody that gets a moment to just talk with them, they've been so neat. And I wanted to give them some time today, whatever time they want to take, to just share their story and who they are. They're a blessing to be here. I just look forward to, I feel the Lord's joined them, brought them for whatever season of time that they feel called here. So if you two could come, they asked for two mics, so I'm going to have you stand back here a little bit. And
Well, thank you very much for that mild applause in advance of you don't know what, but it takes 1 hour to get here. It really does. My car clock said 9:00 when we drove out, and it was 10:00 when we pulled up out here. So it really does take an hour, and we are California kids, born, bred, and lived a whole lifetime in California. Only read about Ohio and all of the beautiful things about it. So we have just reveled driving up here Sunday after Sunday, and a few Sundays that we've missed, but we really enjoy being here, and you don't know how much we enjoy being in this congregation here. So I'm a Northern California boy, born up in the High Sierra Nevada mountains. My wife is a Southern California girl, played on the beaches all of her childhood and youthhood. And we were both members of the Church of Christ. And, oh yeah, that's something impressive. And when I was going to school in Southern California, I attended a church service and she was there. Now, she's got a wonderful singing voice. And I'm a musician. I heard she was singing in a trio on that particular day, and I was in the foyer, couldn't see inside, but I heard the voice, and I tracked that voice down. One thing led to the other, and we finally married and settled in Central California, of course. So we're, when I say California, born, bred, and lived a whole life, I mean all of California.
And in the Church of Christ, they were wonderful for teaching us the Word. They just taught Scripture. They taught it as history largely, but we learned a lot of history of the Old Testament. It was very foundational for us, and we're very grateful for those years. Amen. Church of Christ is non-instrumental, not allowed to have a piano or any kind of instrument. Mm-hmm. So we learned how to sing. And so those were blessed years, and we came to the point where we felt we were no longer helping them and they were no longer helping us. And so we stepped out of the Church of Christ, and that was a big deal because cousins, aunts, it was like this church. Cousins, aunts, uncles, kids, you know, family. We were surrounded by family in a small little Church of Christ. And so that wasn't very welcome for us, but that led us on a journey, and we ended up, so to speak, in Central California, as Duane said, in a four-square church. And that just... that was a godsend for us. If we have any claim to fame on this earth, it is our three children. We have awesome children. The Lord just blessed us. We have three, two girls and a boy. And they just all love the Lord, filled with the Spirit, married, godly people that love the Lord and are filled with the Spirit. They're all leaders in their church. our daughter and son-in-law are pastors in a church that's related to Bethel. And so that's how we ended up here, because your kids get to a certain age and they start to teach you, and they start to lead you, and they start to prophesy over you, and that's really wonderful. And so our family is our greatest joy. And from those three kids, and now six, counting their spouses, we have 12 grandchildren. And
two in heaven,
and two more Jesus already has, so we really count 14. And none of our kids lived in Fresno where we did, none of our grandkids, and we figured that wasn't fair, so we just moved here. And just now we get to be, our son has five kids, and so we get to be with grandkids every day.
That we do. And and it is a lot of fun. Now, our children are like Marie and Brady. They produced other children. And I have to just give my wife due credit in the raising of our kids. She is first and foremost a child of God. She is a Bible student par excellence. I don't know anybody that has such a command of scriptures as she does. She has always had an office in our home. It was on the floor in the front room because she had to spread these books out. And I mean, excellent. She's not only, as a result of that, of course, she's an excellent Bible teacher with a tremendous range of subjects. And I've already mentioned her singing, which was so instrumental to me. When I went out hunting for a wife, I had a list. And first on that list was that she would be a Christian woman. And so I hit the absolute jackpot on that.
And Dwayne, is my knight in shining armor. He came riding into town, Southern California, on a green Chevy.
Ford. But that's okay.
Ford. Close enough.
She never remembers. I guess it was me she was looking at, huh, Karen?
No, he really did have a cool car. I just really like cool car. And the voice he talks about on me, I just want you to know, I no longer have the voice, he no longer has the car. So we have both of them have gone by the wayside. So he is an engineer, electrical engineer, and taught in industry for years. And and I'll let him tell the next part, but he truly has been my knight in shining armor. Yes.
Well, what a blessing that is. You know, our life was just started off. We had these three kids. We were in this wonderful little church, and the Lord was leading us in that. I had this wonderful job, engineering company, and we built the rocket engine that went from the Earth to the Moon on the Apollo Moon Landing project. And so that whole decade was just something new every day. And then as things will happen, projects end, the government funding ended, I found myself out on the street without a job. Now, I had other opportunities to follow the Lord's direction. I didn't do that. I thought I had a better idea, so I went into sales work. I'm not a good salesman, and I did poorly. And things went from bad to worse. We didn't have a house we owned, lost my cars, didn't have any money in the bank. And what else did we not have?
Sometimes we didn't have food. The church would give us food boxes. Sometimes the power was turned off.
Yeah.
And
I learned that I could probably do well as a negotiator with PG&E, you know, a power company. And boy, I really told them a story. But from there, things just went from bad to worse. I mean, they really did. And I had a crisis of faith that I didn't believe possible. And I really, at one time I said to Senia, I'm afraid I've gone so far away, I can never come back. God be praised for these moms and wives that stay steady. And so cynicism set in. Senia would say to me, well, here's this conference, here's this seminar, go to that and call out to the Lord. And at the end of each one of these, the man would say, if you want to renew your faith in Christ, raise your hand. I always raised my hand. And then I would bring it down. And cynically, nothing had happened. And then one time I attended a Bill Gothard Basic Youth Conference. And what was it? Yeah, it was conflicts at that time. They've changed it now to make it a little more palatable. But in any case, I raised my hand that thing, and when I lowered it,
cynicism was gone.
Thank you.
Wow.
It was gone.
Wow.
Yeah, I went home, got down on my knees with my wife, and really blessed the Lord.
Wow.
And I was selling used cars to make ends meet. The one thing wonderful about selling cars is they will give anybody a chance, even a failed salesman, which I was, and I did not do well selling used cars either. But it would make ends meet, see. And so I'd go to church, and they would pray for me. And, Dwayne, have you got a job yet? Nope, I'm selling used cars. And through some friends, I got a substitute teaching job at a high school. I've got an advanced degree in engineering, for goodness sakes. I can teach math. I can teach science. I taught wood shop. You know, I was a substitute teacher. And so after a year and a half of that, I said, at least I ought to get a teaching credential. So I called up the local university, Fresno State University, and I said, Dr. Cotton, I'd like to get a teaching credential teaching high school. And he says, well, tell me your background. And I told him about my experience in engineering and the moon thing and the advanced degrees. And pretty soon, I'm talking to myself. No sound on the other end of the line. And so pretty soon, I stopped talking. 30 seconds, not a sound. And then Dr. Cotton says, are you nuts? You can teach out here at the university. He says, call up Dr. Joe Plunkett. And I went and met with him. And he said, I'd hire you on the spot, but I've got to wait 2 weeks for the national thing to end. At the end of that, he hired me. And the next Sunday was the most fun because I went in, Dwayne, have you got a job yet? Yes. What are you doing? I'm teaching electrical engineering at the university. Jaws, bam, on the floor. You know. No. And from there, my message to any and everybody who will listen is that God redeems, Jesus restores that which has been wasted and lost and stolen and killed and ruined, he puts back together. And from there on out, he restored everything. Houses and cars and whatever else I didn't have, he was able to reproduce that. And so I just bless the Lord and my soul and whatever else, as David said, is within me. I bless him. Yeah.
And it never gets old. I mean, we'll be out gardening and that kind of
yes, just
joy.
Thankfulness and gratitude and
wells
I'll be
up.
Grousing and I'll just say, wait a minute.
Wait, we've been rescued. We've been redeemed.
Oh, yeah. That song. Love came down.
And rescued.
And
us.
Rescued me.
All of us.
I had a 3-word prayer during that time. God save us.
Yeah.
And he marvelously did.
So I don't have as awesome a testimony like that, except I spent 5 years interceding for him. And I've often told him, if I could have arrived at the place of faith faster, you would have had this experience way early. And it's, you know, it took me 5 years to get to the place where I knew that I knew that I knew that it was done, it was finished. God had done what he needed to do. And it was just really hours from that point that he came home from Bill Gothard and said what he said. He said, I want us to kneel right here on this red carpet. And his prayer was, God, I don't ask you for a lot. I just ask you for enough to take care of my family with food and shelter and all of that. And God being God,
yeah,
he gave us a lot.
Yeah, he did.
And he gave us everything, and he restored and redeemed. So
the man who hired me, Joe Plunkett, said, Mr. McAllister, I'll hire you for a semester, but that's the end of it. Because I don't have a terminal degree, see? So I couldn't be a permanent employee. I was always a temporary employee. But God gave me favor. And that temporary status went on permanently for 25 years until I retired. Amen. Yes, sir. And so a year ago or more now, our son wrote us a letter and said, hey, you're getting up there. And pretty soon you'll really need care. So come back here and live with us and be with your grandchildren here. Our children, his children, never had a grandparent close by. And so he invited us to come back. And we prayed to the Lord, took a year. But we are here in Ohio. And for those of you who are asking still in your heart, why? It's because the Lord's blessing are mysterious, shall we say, and we are blessed.
Wow.
And especially to be here.
And we're blessed with this church. I mean, when we walked through the door, you guys are here all the time, so you maybe don't know what you're like for somebody coming in, but you guys are friendly. You guys are open. I talk about having the clutch in. When you talk to somebody, they've got the clutch in. They're ready to shift and move on to the next person. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. Da-da-da. Nobody here is like that. Nobody. Everybody is, I would say to Duane, ready to camp out. They're ready to know you. You guys are ready to hear everything and tell everything. And that was startling to us. I don't think we've been in a church like that. And I just would like to hear
from... You were unusual.
Yeah. It's true. has blessed us, and as Duane said, we keep trying to find a church closer. Oh my. And I won't go into that because I'm sure God loves all of it. But we are just so glad every week to get to come back here. And there's a freedom of the Spirit here and an openness. But the your crowning achievement for us coming from the outside is these people are open. Everybody, and they want to know you guys. I say they. You guys want to know us. You guys want to know each other. You want to be known, and so we bless you for that, and thank you for that, and so we're glad to be here.
That was incredible, folks. Did you all receive that? That was really incredible. And you're such an example to us. Just I sincerely mean this, of just how honoring you are to one another. And it's one of the challenges in our culture is to stay in that honoring place. We always default to picking on each other as far as husband and wife, or so it's just so easy to go there, and you're so honoring, and it's just a beautiful example for every one of us. We just all feel drawn to live our lives, live and grow old together, doing that and being in that position. So, wow. What a testimony. This is power. That's powerful. And Lord, it is the story of so many people can relate, especially the women that kind of hang in there and stay steadfast and are praying for us men when we're going through our stuff. And men, we do go through our stuff, don't we? To have a person in our life that's not just technically our wife, but someone that just stays there and hangs in there with us, believing and connected. You're connected to our mistakes, and that's huge. So good grief. I mean, it's just, I can't say enough about that. Thank you for telling your story. That's a precious one. And thank you, Lord, for bringing these two here. So may you just be built into the fabric of who we are. Wow. And we're looking towards the days ahead as the Lord grows us together, building our foundation that more now can come into this thing. Let me just take a moment with Psalms 91. I don't want to go on too long. I introduced this last week. Psalms 91, and I pointed out three verses that were the qualifiers for you to receive everything that there is to receive from the Lord. The first thing was verse 1. It talks about whoever lives within the secret shadow of Shaddai or El Shaddai, hidden in the strength of God Most High, will always be kept safe and feel secure. is that abiding in his shadow. In order to abide in a shadow, you need to be close to something. And so there is a picture for you, a call, a place to live in and come into that has tremendous results and tremendous benefits associated with it, and that is living in the shadow. And in order to live in the shadow of the Most High, you must draw near to him and find what that looks like in your life. Drawing near to the Lord. We saw there's protection from false accusation and every deadly curse. And his wraparound faithfulness, we finished with that last week. And then we talked about, again, verse 9, Verse 9 begins again, when we live our lives within the shadow of the Almighty. And then the last verse that indicates the qualification, verse 14, and it's the Lord speaking to us, because you have chosen to be my great lover. Because of that, I've chosen to greatly protect you. I'll set you on a high place, safe and secure before my face. So those things, abiding in the shadow, and because you've chosen to be a lover of God, that is the thing. We are often on a search for how to make our lives better, how to fix our stuff when life is falling apart. In the end, and the good people in our lives tell us this, but we don't want to hear it. We're looking for a real answer. They tell us to draw near to the Lord. They tell us to, they'll speak for us to trust in the Lord. And we can get angry at some of those simple things, but that is the element of what brings the real provision. It's in verse. I just want to cover a few things, and I'll close in verse 5. Then continuing on, he says, "You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you." Verse 6, don't fear a thing, whether by night or by day. Demonic danger will not trouble you. And I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Nor the powers of evil launched against you, for God will keep you safe and secure. They won't lay a hand on you. So there's this thing of the reality of those that live like this. I mean, and I spoke this last week. It's okay to be convicted. Allow your heart to be convicted. Being convicted about something is when you're kind of arrested. Something draws your attention, and it has to do with the choice that you have to change, to make a change, to turn from one thing and turn to another. So let your heart be convicted. And the conviction is over this, how much we worry and all the things that we're afraid of, and how much stuff goes into what we worry about. And the promise here is that we live above that. And the sad truth is we don't find too many people that actually do we? We're drastically affected by worries, by fears, and the worst is when those worries and fears cause us to make decisions, and those are always bad decisions. When we make decisions out of that, then they're never wise decisions, and we take ourselves from bad to worse. We get into worse things. So no worries about attack of demonic forces at night. No worries about spirit of darkness coming against you. I mean, how much worse can it get than that? No worries about anything. Then verses 9 and 10, when we live our lives, and this is kind of my pulling things together, when we live our lives within the shadow of the Most High God, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. So, how could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? So here's the promise. So we're often falling short of this, but this is the promise, that we live a life that those things don't have power over us. They don't prevail against us. God will send his messenger angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go. Now that's a good promise. God will send his messenger angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go. And if I walk into a trap, they will be there for me and keep me from stumbling. How many of you have, you made a decision and all of a sudden you know you're snared, you're trapped in something. You've made a promise, you've made a commitment, you just bought a car, you did something that you went, oh, that was dumb, why did I do that? Something moved you to make a decision and you find yourself snared and trapped. Well, I believe that as we put our focus on abiding in the shadow and put our heart's focus on yielding to him and staying close to him, that those mistakes we make, when they start showing up in my life, I back up and I go, okay, what's going on? Because it's not about, and we'll beat ourselves up, but it's not about being smarter than all that. That's where we go to try to fix stuff. You know, I got to be smarter. I've got to be wiser. I've got to work harder. I've got to try harder. You'll find a person that starts this spiral. If you handle that the wrong way, you'll start digging harder, working harder, pressing, pushing. You'll try to dig in to compensate. Have you ever felt yourself in that spiral where it starts bad and you start digging and you're sinking and you're digging harder, and at some point you're in a frenzy to try to keep up with the cycle of the downward cycle you're in? And that happens because we're still trying to fix, we still try to fix things. And we're trying harder. When the promise here is to be close to the, live a life close to Him, so close you're in the shadow. So close you're under His feet. Phyllis allowed a cat to come in to our house this winter. Thank you. And I knew she'd appreciate me sharing that. And it's the garage cat, the outdoor cat that found its way in. And I told her she shouldn't let it in, but she got weak. And so this cat loves to, it's odd. It has it's a little bit different. It loves to stand like, it's kind of sit, perches, does whatever, like a sentinel. You know, it'll sit at a corner of the room or, you know, in certain places, and it just kind of stands there. Sometimes it goes and lays down somewhere, but normally when it's in the house, it stands like a sentry, like it's just different. And it'll end up being under your feet, right in front of the stove or right, you know, at the sink. That's where it's decided to stand. And so you find, why do we do this? You find yourself reaching for something and you're stepping around the cat that really shouldn't be there anyways. I keep telling her, kick the cat out. And so... I'll pay for that later. When we choose to abide in Him, there is a promise. I just want to whet your appetite. There's a promise for us to live differently than what we do. There's still a deeper place to go to, a deeper place of trust, a deeper place of abiding. And so don't try to, don't dummy down this. Don't change the written word. Change what you're doing. And when things aren't lining up, look to what you're doing as the problem, not towards this. Don't figure out how and why as far as making it okay, but be willing to make the changes and realize you're still not living in a place that brings and keeps that protection around you. So there's a promise here to keep us from the trap and the snare. And how easy it is to make those kind of mistakes. We're bombarded with marketers and all of the things. Any phone call, all of a sudden you just agreed to something. You go, why did I do that? And I'll fall into it when I, you know, through my life there's certain things I've fallen, and I just scratch my head. I go, why did I do that? If you'd ask me, are you going to do that? I'd be like, no. And then all of a sudden I've done something. Life is just so full of these traps and these snares, and so it's the Lord that saves us from those things. And so our trust needs to go towards Him keeping us from that. Have you ever had a person, you kind of come into a conversation, and your mind is over here, and you hear certain words, and you're just totally misreading the whole conversation because of where your head's at? Have you ever done that? And it really affects where you start out from as you listen, really affects how you hear a conversation or hear your story. There's a promise here for the Lord wants to protect us. You get to verses, so after 14, he goes into, because you've chosen me, I've chosen, because we've chosen, because you've chosen to be my great lover. In verse 14 going on, I have chosen to greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence. I just encourage you, let yourself go. Don't analyze this. Don't change this meaning with your experience. That's challenging sometimes. Our experience causes us to be cynical, like Dwayne was talking about. Our experience causes a cynicism to rise up in our hearts. And we'll even read our Bibles and have a cynicism about them. And I'm not sure what to call that. What do you call it when you're doing it? When you don't really believe it, or you go, yeah, that's good for some people, but I, you know, obviously I can't access that. So let go of that for a moment and just be childlike and pretend, believe, you know, be childlike and looking at this and going, here's, you know, this would be a dream life. And then be invited into it by the Spirit. To be safe and secure before my face, verse 15, I will answer your cry for help every time you pray. What's the biggest complaint out of people's mouths? God didn't answer my prayer. Aren't they fast? Aren't we fast to say that? Pray about it. I did. I didn't get an answer. God didn't answer me. The promise here, though, we can let go of the cynicism and let go of some of the experience we've had. And I'm not going to even try to figure it out anymore. Just let it go for a moment. Just let it go. The promise is, I'll answer you. This is why we need to look at this. Here's God's heart. So whatever's wrong, it's not him. Let's just put it that way. Whatever's wrong, whatever has disconnected you, it's not him. It's not his fault. It's something else. So let's look for the something else. But the promise is good. The word is golden. And what he's given to us, I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence. An experience. Not just to learn head knowledge. These two talked about where they started out in the church and much of the teaching. And I had the same background. The teaching was historical. We were taught about God. All the songs, the hymns were about God. Now we've come into singing to him. We've gotten back into the experience. And we're to not just learn factually, and studying is good and learning is very important, but that always needs to be precedented with the experience. Phyllis referred to this teacher, James Maloney, and he's a theologian. But he's a theologian that says you must experience the presence of God. He wants you to experience his presence. So after learning and studying, enter into that with what you've looked at. There's an invitation from the Lord, and you will feel my presence. Even in your time of pressure and trouble, I will be your glorious hero and give you success. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you. For you will feast your eyes on the fullness of my salvation, drinking deeply of me. You will feast your eyes on the fullness of all the wonders that we see. To be able to say, to know that you have a promise that the Lord's saying to you, you're going to get to feast your eyes on the fullness. That's powerful. That's hugely. The fullness of my salvation. And every time we take communion, I keep interjecting. The fullness is in the finished work of Christ. We take communion, entering in, taking, remembering him. Remember what? Remember that he did it all. He paid it all. All has been granted to us. So by faith, we appropriate these things: healing, restoration, wholeness, direction, answers for our prayers. And you'll drink deeply of me. So let's stand today. Let me lead you in declarations. This is always a great way to respond to the word and promise of the Lord. And I would just encourage you, if you have the slightest little cringe of, you know, tinge of that cynicism where you're not reading these promises and able to believe for yourself. I have spent a lot of time in my life believing and teaching the truths of the scripture, but not being there in my heart to receive them for myself. So we'll teach about healing, we'll talk about healing, we'll declare it, we'll proclaim it, but we're not appropriating it for ourselves. So we want to, you know, those are good steps to make. You start out believing something, and now it's time to appropriate all those promises for you, for your life. So let's just, you know, the repentance in this thing is just to go, yeah, I see it, and just switch. Go, I'm going to turn from that. I'm just going to let it go. The song that everybody loves, Frozen, from the movie, you know. But the words are profound. Let it go, you know. It's interesting that song got released into our culture. For, you know, for better or for worse, for whatever reason, though, there's those words, and let's let it go. Let's let go of the former things. Let's let go of the disappointments. Let's let go of what our experience has been to this point, and just keep ourselves open. It's my exercise. I always keep coming back, come back, come back, come back to having a fresh look at things and re-examining. And shedding off the disappointments and the stings and the things that have affected me. So let me just lead you in these declarations. And this is based on, because you have chosen to be the Lord's the Lord's lover, here are the promises and here are our declarations. Lord, you will answer every time I pray. I will find and feel your presence. You will be my glorious hero. And give me success. I will be satisfied with a full life. I will feast my eyes on the fullness of salvation. And I will drink deeply of you. So, Father, today we cast off all disappointment. We cast off the disconnection. We cast off the slumber that falls on our souls. We cast off the blindness that comes. We cast off the hardness. We just choose to release and let go of those things that settle in us and on us, so that we can be sensitive to you and open to you and all that you want to do. I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.